We begin the message today. I was wondering what I would title this message, and the only thing I could come up with was, you know, sometimes my titles really don't make sense to me even. But it's "Our Departure Is at Hand." Our departure is at hand. Father, I ask now your blessing upon me as I bring the word that you have given me, Father. Help me to deliver it in the way that you would have me to deliver it. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be mostly in the book of 2 Thessalonians today. We're going to be dealing primarily with that particular book in the Bible. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians only has, I believe, three chapters, and not a very long book. You can read it in 5 minutes or less, the entire book. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, there's a scripture that all of us have heard probably at some time or another, as we've talked about the church and we've talked about things that are to come. And it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's King James Bible. I want to read it to you now from the Jewish Bible. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For the day will not come until after the apostasy has come, and the man who separates himself from Torah has been revealed, the one destined for doom." Okay. I want to read it to you now again, one more time. This time I'm going to read it from the Geneva Bible, 1599 edition. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a departing first, and that man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition." Now, I just want to give you a little background here. Geneva Bible came into existence in 1560. And it, along with the previous English language translations, have verse 3 reading, "departing in place of falling away." The Geneva Bible, by the way, which was published from 1560 to 1644, almost 100 years, was used by the Pilgrims and the Puritans as they came to the shores of America. A lot of people think they came with the King James Bible, but they didn't. They came with the Geneva Bible. And it's kind of interesting because this version, the Geneva Bible version, so infuriated King James that he banned ownership of a Geneva Bible. And that's why it ceased publication, why until just recently it was never available to anyone from the mid-1600s up until just recently that you've been able to use that version again. But he banned it because it convicted him. Because it spoke out about certain things that monarchy did and certain rulers did. And he had it banned because of that, because he was so infuriated by it. So he made the ownership of a Geneva Bible a felony. Well, someday, again, if the Lord tarries, ownership of a King James Bible or some of the other versions that are popular today could be a felony. It could be a crime. Think about it. It's happened before. That owning a Bible in certain countries of the world today. Saudi Arabia, for example. You better not own one of these. I think it's a death penalty there. You know, and I know it's a serious crime. Now, whether or not it's a death penalty or not, I'm not positive. But it's a very serious crime. You cannot have one of these. And yet, they're supposed to be one of our friends. Think about it. I want to deal primarily with what it says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And as I read a number of different versions of that particular verse over the last week or two, they all say basically the same thing, except there come a falling away, except there come an apostasy. Apostasy simply means kind of a falling away from the faith, a departing, if you would, from the faith. And that's primarily the way we have heard that particular verse of Scripture interpreted. Except there come a departing from the faith or a falling away from the faith, that man of sin cannot be revealed. But you know, that's something interesting about the Bible. In the Bible, there is something that is referred to as the law of double reference. The law of double reference, which simply means that you can read a verse and it can have two distinctly separate meanings. And I had never thought about this double reference until the other day when I heard this read in the Geneva Bible, that it was, except there be a departing. Well, you can understand it, a departing from the faith. And believe me, folks, we're seeing a departing from the faith right now. But something else was thrown in my face as I heard about this the other day. Except there come a departing. And they were talking about the church. Until the church departs, some of these things cannot take place. I do not believe the Antichrist can come into power until the church has departed. Now, I quite frankly believe, as the old saying goes, he's alive and well right now. You know, because it's not going to be some kid that was born yesterday that's coming on the scene. He's a mature person right now, and he's working his way into a place of power. Think about it. He's out there right now. Somebody, and I can't remember where I heard this or read this, but somebody talked about the fact that one thing that the devil has had really to work hard at is because he doesn't know when Jesus is coming back. He's had to have somebody ready to be the Antichrist in every generation. That's kind of something to think about, really. I know people thought that Hitler was the Antichrist, and he wasn't. They thought that Mussolini was the Antichrist, he wasn't. They thought that so-and-so was the Antichrist, and you can go back in every generation, there's always been somebody we thought was the Antichrist, but they weren't. The devil's had to have somebody ready, but that person is ready. And he's getting ready to set up his kingdom in the near future when the church departs. You know, the rapture is going to take place. And I know some people, there are a group of people out there called preterists that don't believe a rapture is going to take place. They believe that everything that the Bible talks about already happened in AD 70. I got to say one thing to those folks. What a miserable form of Christianity you must have. Because if this is heaven, why would you want any part of it? Really? I know that's kind of a harsh statement, but if this is heaven, why would you want any part of heaven? Because this is not the heaven the Bible talks about. Amen. But yet they say all this happened almost 2,000 years ago, 1,900 and some years ago. Didn't happen. Well, again, you've got the law of double reference, though, because some things did happen. It referred to things that were going to happen then, but it also referred to events that were going to happen in the future and that are still yet in our future, but not too distant future. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And most of us have probably heard these verses many times as well. And it says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now what's the word Amen translate to be? So be it. So saith the so be it. In other words, that's the way it is. And faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jewish Bible in verse 16 reads a little more bluntly, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Kind of a disgusting thought, isn't it? To be lukewarm. But that's what God has to say. Because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And yet, does that not describe the church world of today? Lukewarm. We mentioned just a few weeks ago, 53%, I believe it was, of Christians believe there is more than one way to heaven. More than one way than Jesus Christ. Then they don't believe the Bible. 53% of Christians don't believe the Bible. Everything else is more important than church. All you got to do is look around. Everything else is more important than church. Now, I understand if you have a job and you have to work on Sunday. I totally understand that. I understand if you're gone on vacation. I understand that. I understand that there will be things that crop up that you can't be in church. We live in a world that things are stressful and hard, and there are times that we have legitimate reasons that we cannot be in the house of the Lord. But as the whole, and when I'm talking the church, I'm talking the church world in general, as a whole, the church makes more excuses as to why they cannot be in church. Believe me, over the years I've heard some good ones. You know, the Bible talks about when gives the parable of the man that was giving the feast. And he sent his servant out to bring them in and to bring out the invitations. And so they asked people to come to the... Oh, well, I can't do it because I bought some property that I need to go look at. Anybody here ever buy property and never look at it? No, you just don't do it that way normally. Because if you do, I got a few acres, a couple of places I'd like to sell you. Okay? Another one, well, I just bought some oxen and I got to go try them out. They made all kinds of excuses. And what happened? They did not get into the feast. Lukewarm. It says that the man who was hosting the feast told his servants, go out and just bring them people in, anybody you can find. People that want to come, bring them in. And that's the way it's going to be in the kingdom of heaven. People that want to go to heaven are going to be there.
Amen.
And people that want to halfway do it, they're going to find the door closed, just like the five foolish virgins did. Slammed in their face. It's time we quit making excuses about serving God and get down to business and serve God. Some people, on Sunday, there's a new disease goes around. It's called Sunday morning sickness. Only sick on Sunday because they partied on Saturday. They were able to do everything else Monday through Friday, but sick on Sunday. And I know that sounds a little harsh. And I know people get sick and can't be to church sometimes. But you know one thing, if you don't feel good, that's a good place to go as church and get prayed for.
Amen.
But I realize there are sometimes you may be just too sick to go. It's happened to me. In fact, one Sunday last year, I think it was, or maybe earlier this year, I had to call Brother Art at the last minute and ask him to fill in for me because I just couldn't make it. So those things do happen once in a while. But for some folks, it's a regular occurrence. Lukewarm. A departure from the faith. The man of sin, as it refers to, or the son of perdition, apolia, as it is in the Greek, which means destroyer, or as we commonly refer to the Antichrist, cannot come into power until after the rapture has taken place. Going back again to verse 3 and 4. Actually, we'll read verses 3 through 5 of 2 Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5 says, remember you not that when I was with you, yet with you, I told you these things, He can't come into power until the church is gone. But Paul goes on to say in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." In the Jewish Bible it reads, "And now you know what is restraining, so that he may be revealed in his own time." Going on to verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." It says that he can't come into power till he that letteth is taken out of the way. Who's restraining him right now? Many translations read, "Who is restraining?" Who's restraining it? It's the church. The church. Those people who believe what the Word has to say. They pick up this book and they don't question this book. They believe it to be the holy, anointed Word of God. Those are the folks that are restraining the wicked one from coming into power right now. But when we are departed, when we are taken out of the way, there's nobody to hold him back. You take a dam and it has floodgates. As long as those floodgates are closed, it holds back the water. And it backs up behind the dam. But when you open those floodgates, that water comes rushing through with mighty powerful force. Go to any one of the lakes, wherever you may go, that's a man-made lake where there's a dam. And below the dam, there will always be a little creek down there. And most of the time, you can go down there and you can wade in that water. Maybe knee deep. Maybe at most, chest deep. That's about it. But there's also signs posted that when you hear a sound, a trumpet, so to speak, when that horn blares, you've got so many minutes to get out. Because a flood is coming through there. It's going to be a mighty rushing water that's going to be sweeping through there. And your life is in jeopardy if you're still down there. You'll be lost. Swept away by the flood that comes when those gates are opened. And that's kind of like what it's going to be. The church is the gates that is holding back the flood of evil that is to come. But when that shofar sounds,
amen,
and the church is taken out, that floodgate is released.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wickedness rushes through and sweeps everything in its path. And it's lost. Yes, the Bible says there will be those folks that are saved during the tribulation period. It's referring mainly, as I understand it, to those of the Jewish nation. But there'll be some who are other folks that will be saved. But believe me, folks, if you can't be a Christian now and can't live a Christian life now, how can you do it then? Man, it's going to take better willpower than what you've had now. There are a lot of people that are going up in the rapture who are already gone on to be with the Lord that they had to live during the tribulation. I'm not sure they'd make it. So don't count on I can do it after the rapture takes place or after the Antichrist comes into power. Because believe me, we have never in our lives witnessed what will take place. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the great heroes of the faith. But it talks about some of the atrocities that took place in the church as well. How women received their dead that were taken. People were cut asunder. All these horrible things took place. And that's only a smattering of what will happen during the tribulation period if you get up and say, I'm a Christian. Believe me, get up and say, I'm a Christian during the tribulation period, and your head will be separated from your body post haste. They aren't going to say, well, that's nice, I'll just don't bother anybody. Nope. It's a death sentence then. So it's the church that has to be taken out of the way before the son of perdition can fully come into power. He cannot come into power until the church is out of the way. So we go back to that verse again. Falling away. A departure. It's a departure from the faith. There is a departure from the faith. We cannot deny that. When church leaders of denominations that trace their ancestry back to the Reformation get up and say they no longer believe everything in there is true and deny it, they're basically crucifying Christ afresh. They're denying the power of God. But with the rule of double reference, also at the same time, while there's a departure from the faith, there's going to be a departure of the people of faith as well. And we're going to be taken out of this place. And then it's all going to break loose. We're living in troubling times. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper or turn on the television or the radio and know that we're living in troubling times. I've had people tell me this week that they have never, ever in their lifetime seen situations such as it is today. It's tough. It's not just affecting the United States of America, it's affecting the world. We're living in trying times. Troubling times. It's when it's time to be right with God. I'll tell you that. A lot of people have put their trust in everything but God, and now that everything is gone. But those who have trusted in God all along, they're not that concerned. Oh, sure, we get concerned about it. It's natural to be concerned about what's going on. But our faith is in God, and we know He's going to take care of us. Paul here has... Well, let me back up just a little bit. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He's kind of telling him to take heart. You know, because he's given some pretty heavy messages here to some of these folks. And in Timothy, Paul has come basically to the end of his road. He knows that time's run out just about for him. And here's what he says to Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He's telling Timothy here, there's hope, Timothy. No matter what happens, run the race. Finish the course. Because then there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. That righteous judge is going to give you your reward. is coming soon. He's telling Timothy, my time's up here. And folks, the church's time is up. The church age's time is just about up. But has the church ran the race and finished the course? Yeah, there's some Christians out there that have, obviously. But I feel sorry for the church itself. When we're talking about denominations and the church world in general, there's a lot of that that's falling by the wayside. It's only people who have Jesus Christ in their heart and believe what the Word of God has to say that are going to make it. Paul, as I said, gave the Thessalonians a heavy message here. And a lot of rough times coming. But in verse 16 of chapter 3, he says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord is with us. Even though there's troubling times, there's times that we don't want to be a part of that are coming upon this world. His peace is with us. His peace is with us. How much of some of this stuff we'll actually see as Christians here in America, I don't know. I do know that Christians in some other parts of the world are already seeing and have seen part of it. God has blessed us because we have, quote unquote, been a Christian nation up to this point. But we are no longer. Yes, there are some license plates from some states that say, in God we trust and God bless America. But that's not the general consensus anymore. And when God begins to take His hand off of things, trouble always comes. Trouble always comes. Look back in history. Every time God took His hand off the nation of Israel and just withdrew Himself from them for a little while, they ended up in big trouble. And it's only when His hand of blessing was on them that they prospered. And yet those are the folks that God says are His people. His chosen people. And if when He removes His blessing from them and they run into that kind of problems, think about what kind of problems we could have. But the great news is that departure day is coming.
Amen.
That departure day is coming. That shofar is getting ready to sound. And I don't know for sure which angel is going to be blowing that shofar. But I have a suspicion he's practicing right now. Getting all warmed up. Because if I understand it right, people that play the trumpet, you know, that's, I could never probably play the trumpet. Man. But I understand, you know, you've got to get warmed up a little bit. You just can't pick one up and go in and make it sound good. You got to warm up a little bit. And I imagine that angel's getting warmed up. And besides, the trumpet they're playing, that shofar is not like what we talk about a trumpet today. It's that ram's horn. And I'll tell you, those things are not easy for anybody to play. He's getting ready, though. And it's going to take place anytime. Anytime. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And Father, I pray Your blessing upon this people, upon those that hear this message today, Father. And Father, if there's anyone who is listening to this message that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would convict them, Father, of their sin, Father, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And I give You praise and I give You glory, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.